Earlier this week, the Cuban government staged a huge anti-American rally in Havana to protest President Bush's tightening of the economic embargo against Cuba. The tough new measures are intended to pressure the Castro regime by restricting travel by U.S. citizens to Cuba and limiting money sent to the island by Cuban Americans. Despite open hostility between Havana and Washington, a four-year-old law allows Cuba to buy certain American products, and that has created a thriving commercial trade between the neighbors. As NPR's John Burnett reports, Cubans are uttering Yankee imperialists and buy American in the same breath.
The United States has quietly become Cuba's largest source of imported food and agricultural products, which has created a booming new market for hard-pressed American farmers.
Most of what Cuba needs, most of the food items, are indigenous to South Texas. Wheat, rice, grapefruit, oranges.
Earlier this month, Ruben Bonilla, chairman of the Port of Corpus Christi, Texas, hosted a one-day conference to drum up interest in trading with Cuba. There were no Che Guevara berets spotted in the crowd of conservative businessmen and women. Nonetheless, they were eager to do business with this outpost of tropical communism.
I'm Gary Hood. I'm from San Antonio. I'm in the concession business.
Hood is not planning on selling hot dogs in Havana's ballparks. He says he wants to broker shipments of lumber to the island.
Cuba? You start off with zero 4 years ago, and we're doing $250 million a year. Yeah, there's money down there.
Last year, Cuba purchased $256 million worth of U.S. food and farm goods, up nearly 80% from the previous year. Their shopping list included chicken, raisins, apples, corn, rice, soybeans, livestock, fertilizer, pasta, soft drinks, pine logs, peanut butter, and a few surprising items, says Cynthia Thomas, president of the Texas-Cuba Trade Alliance.
Cubans love chewing gum, and that wasn't on the permitted list, but Wrigley's went in and got that added. Napa Valley is exporting wines to Cuba, so I mean they got wines added to the list. You know, almost anything you go and shop for on a weekly basis, they're looking to buy.
Since Bill Clinton signed a law liberalizing trade with Cuba, the country has spent some $580 million on American goods, making it the United States' 35th biggest export market. The trade comes with conditions, however. The Cubans are only permitted to buy food and agricultural products, and they have to pay in cash. They could buy from Vietnam and China that offer generous credit terms to Castro's cash-strapped government, but they choose to buy American. It's closer, the products are higher quality, and the contact with American agriculture has immeasurable political value, says Phil Peters, a Cuba expert at the Lexington Institute.
They see that through this trade, they're building friendships in the United States with a largely Republican sector, the farmers all over the country. So they're buying eggs from Massachusetts, they're buying apples from Washington State, buying grain from throughout the Midwest, chicken from Georgia. So they're spreading the wealth around, and I think that they rightly see that at some point it's going to redound to their political benefit here.
Last November, in an unguarded moment, a Cuban foreign ministry official told Agence France-Presse, quote, "Every food shipment we buy from the United States has a political component to overturn the U.S. economic blockade." The government quickly disavowed the comment, but John Kivulik, president of the U.S.-Cuba Trade and Economic Council, says it was accurate.
Back to the food products and ag products that are being purchased from the U.S., the primary reason is to influence U.S. policy toward Cuba.
The strategy seems to be working. Cuba's trade contacts in the American heartland have become vocal opponents of the 44-year-old embargo. Some state officials, such as Alabama Agriculture Commissioner Ron Sparks, are asking their congressional delegations to work to normalize relations with Cuba.
You know, I just think that we ought to have normal relationships there. I mean, you know, we're doing business with Vietnam, we're doing business with China, we're doing business with Libya, we're doing business with all the other countries that we've had difficulties with. I don't know why we've got an embargo anyway.
As more and more officials embark on trade missions to Havana, Castro is engaged in a charm offensive. For instance, the Cuban president, dressed in a pinstriped suit and red silk tie, met personally with Corpus Christi Port Chairman Ruben Bonilla.
The manner in which we were received and treated with kindness and openness, that in itself served as a catalyst for us to return to the United States and say there should be a better way. That doesn't make sense for this embargo to continue.
The port of Corpus Christi is one of 17 U.S. ports competing to ship goods to Cuba. On average, there's a U.S.-flagged vessel steaming into Havana Harbor every week. Captain Billy Tharp stood on the bridge of his tugboat, El Jaguar, preparing to tow 5,000 tons of Montana pinto beans through the warm waters of the Gulf on a four-day voyage to Cuba. This will be his third trip to the island. On his first, he wasn't sure what to expect.
Actually, it was pretty nice. We felt very welcome there. People were real friendly. It was good doing business with them.
There will be more shipments like this. The shipper, Yellowstone Bean Company, says Cubans eat more beans per capita than any people in the world. John Burnett, NPR News.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.